You know, sometimes when the trials surround us, we start to doubt in the dark what God has told us in the light. And it's easy to do that, isn't it? What we need to do, and it's a lot easier said than done, but to seek the Lord. In fact, this morning, even though it was put in your bulletin because I told folks I was going to be preaching on one thing, the Lord has changed my direction for this morning's message. And I want you to go to 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. I know the video folks are thankful the Lord changed my direction in time for me to tell them of the updated title. But I want to answer this question not from myself, but from God's Word. Why does God allow us to suffer? Have you ever wondered that? I have. Some people think and believe that it's a sin to ever ask God a question such as why. Personally, as I've studied Scripture and the men of God throughout its pages, I personally don't believe that it's wrong in and of itself to ask God why. I do believe it's wrong to have an obstinate spirit and refuse to obey until we know why. But simply to ask why, I don't believe in and of itself is a sin. You know, Paul dealt with some difficulties. Boy, that's understating it, isn't it? Paul dealt with some difficulties. He was stoned. He was in a shipwreck. He was beaten. He was heavily invested in stocks and bonds, and I don't mean the stock market. He was maligned. He was, in fact, historians tell us that Paul, near the end of his life, he had been stoned and beaten so much that when he would stand up to speak, historians tell us, church historians tell us that he could hardly walk and that he always walked with a limp and he was hunched over because of all the broken bones that he had received. The Bible doesn't tell us that. That's history. But I certainly believe it. Here's a man that probably wrestled. We know he wrestled. We're going to look at this in a moment. I can't imagine the things that Paul went through because I've not gone through them. But friends, this morning, 2 Corinthians, rather, chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, he says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." I want to give you five reasons this morning that God allows us to suffer. The first reason I have to say is simply this, and it's not drawn from this passage. All the other four are. But I want to encourage you, whether you're here this morning watching the broadcast or listening by way of radio, that, friend, if you don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not yet accepted His free gift of salvation that He provides because of His death on the cross and His rising from the dead and giving victory over sin, if you've never personally accepted that gift of salvation, friend, I can tell you this. Based on God's Word, the reason that the Lord allows suffering into your life is so that you'll turn to Jesus Christ. And friend, this morning, I don't know how people go through suffering without the Lord. And if you're here this morning or within the sound of my voice and you've not yet trusted Christ as your Savior, oh friend, make today that day. Paul here, obviously, clearly was a believer in Jesus Christ and was a follower of Him. And so he already had that first reason covered, but he gives four others this morning. And the first is simply this. Why does God allow us to suffer? Number one. Number two, rather, if you consider the other one kind of a pre-answer, I suppose. But the first reason Paul gives here is that it rids us of pride. Suffering rids us of pride. Paul here says a thorn in the flesh was allowed to happen to him so that he would not become exalted above measure. Now, Paul, what are you talking about here, exalted above measure? Well, he gives us the reason. He says, through the abundance of the revelations. What's he talking about? Well, God used Paul to write the majority of the New Testament. Paul saw things He's not allowed to tell us. Those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, he talks about that, that he was taken up. He says, I knew somebody. I believe he's talking about himself, you know. And you can study that out later. But he says that this man was taken up into heaven and saw things that he's not allowed to tell us yet. Boy, does that pique your curiosity? Oh, he's seeing them now. Some of our friends and family that we know, they know what those mysteries are now. They're there. But here's Paul, one of the greatest Christians the world has ever known, and he was used by God to write much of the New Testament. And he said, so I wouldn't be exalted, so I wouldn't be lifted up in pride, God allowed a thorn in the flesh to trouble me. You know what, friends? When we suffer, one of the reasons God allows us to suffer is so he rids us of pride, because pride, friends, is the greatest hindrance to God working in our lives. Many times I say pride is the biggest roadblock to revival, and it certainly is. Why? Because pride says that I'm okay.
I can handle it.
But you know what? There's something that happens when we get into a situation we cannot handle. Our creative thinking, our planning ahead, our ability to make the best of a bad situation just doesn't cut it anymore. Sometimes we get into these situations. God allows us to suffer and there's nothing we can do about it. And you know what, friends? That is ridding us of pride. If you're in a condition right now, if you're suffering, if the Lord has allowed some kind of situation into your heart and life that you cannot handle, oh friend, keep in mind that he's using that in your life to rid you of pride, because then it makes us usable. Paul, of all people, said, this thorn in the flesh was given to me so that I wouldn't be exalted above measure. But he goes on, doesn't he? Look at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that's three times, that it might depart from me. Now personally, I think he's talking about three seasons of prayer. In other words, it wasn't three, you know, meal time. Lord bless this food, and by the way, please heal me of my thorn in the flesh, okay? I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking about three different seasons of prayer. Someone can debate that, that's fine. But the point of the matter is this, that Paul sought, he besought the Lord. He begged God, Lord, please, would you deliver me from this thorn in the flesh? Many people believe that his thorn in the flesh was a problem with his eyes. There are clues in Scripture that he gives. He had most of his letters were penned. He would dictate, and then someone called an amanuensis, that's like a secretary or a scribe, would write out what he said. In fact, I forget which book it is right now, but one of the smaller books, he writes at the end, behold, how large a letter I have written with mine own hand. In other words, he's telling the people who are receiving the letter that he wrote it with his own hand. He didn't dictate it. You wonder why he would point that out if on a regular basis he always penned them with his own hand. Well, many folks believe he had a running eyesore of sorts. Definitely some kind of eye trouble. Boy, for someone who loved the books and the letters, remember that when he asked them to bring stuff back for him? Oh, don't forget the books, don't forget the parchments. And for someone who is writing and sending things, you can imagine eye trouble would be such a thorn in the flesh. When he would get up to speak, sometimes we have this idea that Paul was this incredible, you know, superhero type person that had no faults or failures. But he begs the people, he says, please pray for me that I might have boldness to speak the word of God. And he goes on and he's saying, the palms of my hands get wet, I get nervous. Imagine if he had some kind of visual ailment. I can only imagine the difficulty that would cause. Here's Paul going before the Lord. Lord, I can think, I'm putting words in his mouth, but if I were in Paul's condition, I would say something like, Lord, I can think of 10 reasons why it would be better for me not to have this difficulty. I could serve you more actively. People wouldn't be turned off by this visual impairment that I have, and they and the Word of God would have more freedom, you know. See, friends, when God allows us to suffer, it not only rids us of pride, but it readies us to pray. Let's just face it, we don't really pray many times like we should until we're in need. When we're confronted with something that's bigger than we are, it takes us to our knees. You know what, friends? The devil's not scared of us at all. When we gather in our big conferences and huge, you know, multi-state, multi-church events where we get together, and that doesn't worry him in and of itself. The best plans we can come up with don't worry the devil. But when he starts seeing God's people on their knees in sincerity and in necessity, he knows that's when God works. Spurgeon said the lungs of the church is the prayer meeting. You know what, friends? I really believe that. I know this from my own life. Many times I do not pray like I should unless the Lord brings necessity on me. Friends, are you going through difficulty? Maybe it's health-wise. Maybe it's financially. Maybe it's relationally. Maybe it's, I mean, you fill in the blank. Understand that God never wastes pain. God never just allows things to happen because He missed something somewhere. Say, well, maybe there's got to be sin in my life then. Well, friend, if you're living in sin and there is a difficulty coming your way, then you may as well think that, okay, the Lord might be chastening you. But what about Job? Job was a righteous man by the very admission of God. And yet God allowed him to go through trials. In fact, be careful when you read the book of Job. I remember sitting under Dr. Koster in class. This is about 13 years ago. And I had asked Pastor Dan if we could join it was called the Maranatha class at the time, but what's it called now? The retirees class? And am I not supposed to? That's not the name of it, but I'm going to get myself in big trouble. What is it? Is it the Maranatha class? Oh, how about that? I still got myself in trouble anyway. But you know, the Bible teaches the older teaching the younger and such. And so my wife and I joined it. And then my wife and I, after we were married, we went to that class. I remember Dr. Koster teaching through parts of the book of Job. And we've got to be careful when you deal with Job, because if you just pull a verse out of the middle of the book of Job, some of Job's friends thought they were pretty smart and pretty wise. And some of the things they said, they were saying, Job, you're being punished for your sin. If you just pull a verse like that out of there and start using that on people, you know what? You're not accurately representing, because the Lord comes back and said, "You to Job's friends, you better pray that Job prays to me, because I'm going to come after you unless Job prays to me and asks me not to, because the things they said were wrong." Job was not being punished for his sin. God was working something special in his life. And friend, you may be going underneath a suffering circumstance, friend. If the best you know, you're right with God, understand that maybe God's trying to either rid you of pride or readying you to pray. This is my personal opinion here, and I'll preface it by saying that, but I really believe that God is already at work preparing and in some cases already sending sparks of revival to the church in this nation. So how can you believe that, Brother Ben? Because I see more and more pressure coming on the church. If you look through history, you don't see that the lack of pressure ever helped the church. Because we have a tendency as the body of Christ to get complacent when things are easy. But when the pressure's on, when Rome first tried to stamp out Christianity and they were martyring people and they were torturing people and all this thing, what happened to Christianity? Did it shrink? No, it grew. Why? Because the church was being purified and it was being, their sense of need was being brought before them. Friends, we always need God. We're just not always conscious of it. And you know what, friends? Maybe, I'm not saying I'm asking for this, but maybe the pressure, I dare not say persecution, because we've got brothers and sisters in other countries that know what real persecution is. But maybe a little pressure would do us some good. Maybe that'll motivate us to pray as we ought. And friends, I know there are people in this room, many who are prayer warriors, and you know how to get a hold of God in ways that you would never tell anyone, because it's private and it's personal. But I also know the fact that many of you, how you learned to pray that way is that God allowed suffering into your life. And it drew you closer to God than to any human. With skin on. As one little girl put it. I like to pray to Jesus, but sometimes it's hard because He doesn't have skin on. That's what she said. You know what, friends? Maybe suffering's in your life to help. You'll learn to pray. He goes on. And He said unto me, verse 9, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Not only does suffering rid us of pride, ready us to pray, it refocuses our perspective. It refocuses our perspective. Look at what Paul's saying here. In fact, the next verse, he even says, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and all these things. What? Paul, you welcome these things? You welcome difficulty? That doesn't make any sense, Paul. You know, he had a different perspective. He wanted the power of Christ to rest upon him. You know what, friends? When we have a perspective change, that changes a lot. In fact, Paul goes on here in verse 10. He says, Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. His perspective change allowed him to understand the fourth reason that God allows us to suffer, and that is to renew us with power. To renew us with power. He says, For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Now, sometimes we tend to think of that this way. After I have been weak and gone through the situation and through the struggle, I will become stronger at the end of it as a result of it. Now, friends, that may be true. That's not what he's saying here, though. He is literally saying, in the moments of weakness, then am I strong. Do you realize, friends, that some of the most incredible, most powerful ministry you can have in the lives of others is when right in the middle of your trial? How many times have I gone on a hospital visit, let's say, or something like that, and my intention, or perhaps your intention, as you've gone to visit someone who's going through a hard time, your intention is to encourage them. And you leave being the more encouraged. What's happening there? The power of Christ is being made evident in their life. Now, friends, I am not spiritual enough. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not spiritual enough yet to reach the point where I'm quite asking the Lord for trials. Okay?
Lord, please bring some trials into my life. You know,
I'm not that spiritual yet. Okay? And I'm not being sarcastic. I mean that. But I see the crack of the door opening. I see what Paul's talking about a little bit here. You see why Paul, and I don't see Paul asking for trials here either. He says when the Lord allows them to come, he says, okay, the Lord's going to use this in my life. And I think that's the right way to see it, because what's happening is Paul is allowing the Lord to use these trials, and Paul is sensing, he's knowing that when God brings the trials, it's time for ministry. Now that seems confusing.
The trials are coming, it's time for ministry.
What? Wait, no.
That's not the way it should be. The trials are coming, it's time to stop ministering and, you know, curl up into a ball.
Do we feel like that sometimes? Right?
Well, no, Brother Ben, that's just you. Okay, fine. Some of the greatest ministry you might have is when you're going through a trial. I have seen people suffer through some incredible things. And as they allow the Lord to use that in their life, they become some of the sweetest saints that you'll ever meet. Because they allow the Lord to do that work in their heart. Where are you today, friend? One person put it this way, that life is a series of, it's a pattern, it's a series, I guess, of living from crisis to crisis. I don't know that I particularly like that analysis. Seems a little depressing. And actually, it would be depressing if you didn't know the Lord. But you know what, friends? How strong a Christian we are is not measured when we're coasting. It's not measured when we're going downhill. As we drove up here from Kansas, I had told Brother Jeff Vandenberg the message that I had planned on preaching. And then even back then, the Lord started moving in my heart to change the message. And I kind of wrote it down in my heart. I think I'm going to preach. I didn't know he was going to put it in the bulletin. So it's not his fault. It's my fault. Okay. But the Lord started saying, no, I think I'd like you to preach on suffering. And so I said, okay, all right, I'll preach that. And then we started having difficulty as we were traveling over from Kansas, and tires kept blowing out on the trailer. And we just got new tires on the truck, right? Oh, the truck's great. Trailer, boom. And wouldn't you know it, this was one of those trips where I went around and checked every tire. I don't always do that. I probably should. But I checked the tires this trip. Don't want any tire problems. Made sure the spare's ready. Boom! Going through Topeka, Kansas. Shotgun blasts, what it sounded like. Flap, 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 flap. Okay. Change the trailer tire. Didn't know if I had all the right tools or not. The wrecker comes, do all this stuff. Turns out I did have all the right tools. My wife was smiling at me. She's sitting here smiling, probably, and thinking to herself, you need to... I'm just not confident about those things. All right? I'm still learning, you know. I didn't grow up changing trailer tires. I need to learn to do that, and I actually know how to do it, and I've done it, and I've crawled under there, and my brother, when they were traveling with us, we crawled underneath the trailer, we changed out shackles, we did all that. It just makes me nervous on the side of the road with semis going by, shaking the whole trailer. It's on this little jack, you know, and you're underneath it. I do have faith, but not that strong yet. So we got the spare on, you know, it's a full-size spare and everything. We go down the road, all right, good, good. We can get the rest of the way there. Next day, 100 miles, boom! Oh, one of the other tires went. I looked back and it was the spare. The brand new spare. I said, Lord, I will admit to you, folks, that I wrestled in my spirit. Now, this is not suffering. This is inconvenience. All right? I know that. And our kids are getting older. And they're becoming more spiritually aware. Glad they're not in here at the moment. Miles is repeating my messages to me now. My daughter Elena will say things like, we should pray about it. Yes, we should. We should pray. Amanda, will you pray? I've learned to leave the truck and I say all this simply to say this, that I know what the Lord was doing. Sometimes you don't know. I know what He was doing. Put a little pressure on my heart, because he knows that's one of the things, that's one of my greatest fears, is not to have the trailer in working condition. That's our house. That the Lord has taught us so many things over the last 7 years, and we're going to talk about that tonight, by the way. Things that God has done, testimonies, it's going to be great. Can't wait. But friends, He was testing my heart and reminding me of the fact that He allows things for a reason. And at that moment, the reason was to show me how weak I really am. Oh, I've got the title evangelist in front of my name. You know what that means? In this department, it doesn't mean anything. He's reminding how little it took for me. But you know what, friends? How are you doing in the department of suffering? Many of you are going through much deeper waters than a tire blowing on the side of the road. But you know, when God allows the difficulties into our lives, big or small, there's a purpose. Maybe it's to rid us of pride. We think we know what's going on. We've got everything under control. God allows things to get out of control. Maybe it's to ready us to pray so we can get a hold of heaven. Maybe it's to change our perspective so we see things the way God sees them, or perhaps He's renewing you with power so that you'll be ready to have some of the most incredible ministry to others. Oh, friends, where are you? I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in the midst of a trial. I'll tell you right now, in a moment, we're going to have a pianist come and our instruments come and play through a simple verse of "Have Thine Own Way." I didn't take the time to find out what number that is. I believe it's in this hymn book. But you know what, friends? I'm not going to have us really sing the song. Just spend some quiet time. Maybe you're in need this morning of seeing things the way God sees them. Maybe the Lord's allowed suffering in your life because there's an issue of pride there. Maybe He's readying you to pray. Many likelihoods, it's the last one. It's renewing us with power so that we can minister to others. You know, friends, that's real Christianity. Real Christianity is not the glossed up photo op Christianity. If that's all Christianity was, then it's not worth any more than the shallow stuff that so many put their trust in. But friends, Christianity is at its most real when we're going through difficulty. Maybe here this morning and say, "You know what, Brother Ben, that's me. The Lord's allowed some kind of difficulty into my life, and that message is from Paul's life is what I needed to hear this morning. Would you pray for me?" You know me well enough. I don't point people out or embarrass them. But if that's you this morning, just as a sign before the Lord, would you just simply slip your hand up, put it down? Yes, I see those. Yes, amen. Many hands. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. I see those. Friend, I'm going to give all of us an opportunity here in a moment. I'm going to pray. I'll have us stand to our feet. As the instruments play that song, "Have Thine Own Way." Let me challenge you. If the Lord leads you, you can come and kneel at the altar in the front. You can sit back down where you were seated. Just spend some time with the Lord. Say, "What do I tell Him?" You just tell Him what He's put on your heart. "Lord, this is how I feel. Lord, would You help me to see what You want me to see?" We'll do that in just a moment after I pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for putting in this glimpse into the struggle Paul had. And Lord, it allows us to draw these principles, these reasons You allow us to suffer. Lord, I pray You would help us to see things just a little bit as You see them. Lord, encourage people this morning. Lift them up. Lord, I pray that You would
comfort to those who need the comfort. Lord, I pray that you would empower us. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, I thank you for many who lifted their hands this morning. It's just representative of a heart that is responding to your truth. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the courage to do what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name I pray.